great football team with a lot of moral fiber and a lot of character, and they showed it.
Shout, a Buffalo football podcast hosted by Matt Perino and Ryan Talbot.
No place else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
Presented by Syracuse.com and NYUP.com.
The Bills make me wanna.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into a very, very late night episode of Shout, a Buffalo Bills football podcast, just where we thought we'd be here at 1:45, except we're not talking about a Buffalo Bills draft pick. We're talking about a pair of trades. Brandon Bean moves back two times completely out of the first round and now sits at pick number 33, the first pick in the second round. We're going to get into this, Ryan, but a very interesting place to be because Brandon Bean holds a lot of cards right now. There's some players on the board that I think make a lot of sense for the Bills. We'll talk about all of those guys. But there's also kind of a benefit of like, all right, everybody resets here. You get 14 hours to kind of be the bell of the ball, have people start calling you. Brandon Bean said people are already starting to reach out and calling him.
Yeah.
What happens with this pick is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Bills fans would be very frustrated if they traded down again. But it wouldn't be the worst idea. You look at a team like Washington, who in my final mock draft, I had the Bills trading down with Washington, getting pick 36, and then another day two pick in the third round. That's in play. They own 36 and 40. They might want to leapfrog New England, get an offensive lineman. All those things are in play for the team. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, there's a lot of anger, a lot of vitriol on social media tonight, Matt. And it's funny. What wide receiver would you say was maybe mock draft to the Bills the most throughout this entire mock draft process?
Brian Thomas Jr.
Okay, maybe then after him, because I would argue that a little bit.
Number two.
Yeah, Mitchell, still on the board. Mm-hmm. Who's the one defensive prospect that we said, hey, that'd be like a race to the podium type pick for the Bills at 28?
Cooper DeJean. And when the trade came down, I was absolutely shocked because I thought that would be the pick at 28 and then again at 32.
Still on the board. So I think a lot of it comes from who they traded with in that first trade and who the Chiefs ended up with, and we'll get to that. But the Bills are in a good spot. They got that third round pick back. They have three picks in the top 95 now. I think they're feeling good, and Brandon Bean has a lot of ammunition now to move up and down the draft board and get even more top, 120 type level picks if he really wants to.
This was the scenario that I feel like we spent the most time on. And I know it was a lot of fun to kind of, at the end of the process, really focus in on some of the trade up scenarios. But to be honest with you, like the fact that Brandon Bean came out tonight and said they never were in the mix to go way up high in the draft. He even went as far to say they didn't make one single call to trade up in this draft at all, which I think tells you that number one, he values the bank of capital that he's built, mm-hmm. right? Like next year's draft, this year's draft, he has a ton of early ammunition next year to maybe be aggressive and go up in a big way next year and take a difference maker, maybe top 15. If he kind of puts together a couple of picks, I think you like that. I don't think you want to kind of mess with that at all. And then you look at this year and, depending on where he landed in terms of first round grades, he didn't feel comfortable going up, and you can agree with it. You can disagree with it. That's all fine, well and good. Whatever your opinion on it, on that is fine. But I think at 28, people are so kind of funny about the Xavier Worthy thing. I want to bring this up. I want to read a couple names and I'm going to have you react. Xavier Worthy, John Ross, Kalen Barnes, Chris Johnson, really good player, great running back, all-time kind of running back for the Titans. That's the one exception. Rondell Menendez, DJ Turner, Dre Archer, Tariq Woolen, Jerome Mathis, Marquise Goodwin, Stanford Rout, Henry Ruggs, Champ Bailey, Jacoby Ford, Jalen Merrick, J.J. Nelson, Tyquan Thornton, DeMarcus Van Dyke, Fabian Washington. You know what all those people have in common?
Speed.
They're all sub 4:30 guys at the combine.
Yeah.
Xavier Worthy is number one on the list. The fastest guy that's ever run at the combine. Speed does not necessarily equal elite player. if this was a guy that passed, that checked all the boxes for the Buffalo Bills at 28, Brandon Bean goes to the podium and makes that pick. Now, maybe he lands at a spot with Kansas City, and we could talk about this a little bit. Do you want to try to guard against the Kansas City Chiefs getting a guy that they think they can make into something special? Obviously, Tyreek Hill was so good in that spot. Brandon Bean's pushback there was, well, we could do that. We could try to guard against and not trade with Kansas City, the Kansas City Chiefs. But that was the best offer on the table, to move back and go up from the fourth, almost around into the third, back to 95. You could straight arm them, but what's to say that if you don't take Worthy there, if you don't have them high on their board, they don't trade up to 29 to get them, to get in front of the 49ers. So I think the logic there, if you're not going to trade Worthy, I don't think there should be any, if you're not going to draft Worthy, I don't think there should be any team that you're not trying to deal with to try to improve your entire draft situation.
Yeah, that's 100% correct, Matt. And, you know, if you were to draft Worthy just to keep him away from the Chiefs, you're not going to be holding a GM job much longer. You don't just draft players because, oh, you know, the team that's the favorites to win the Super Bowl once again wants them. You mentioned that whole list, and there's been some players that have lasted in this league for a long time. You know, former Bill, Marquise Goodwin, still kind of hanging on, never put up gaudy stats, though. You know, Chris Johnson, you mentioned, had a great career, but a lot of those guys, yeah, you can't teach speed. But in a lot of those cases, you also can't teach durability. Xavier Worthy is 165, 170 pounds max. He's going to take some big hits in the NFL. Let's wait and see how that works out. And I get it. He's going to Patrick Mahomes. He's going to Andy Reid. I have no doubt that Andy Reid will find ways to scheme him open, get him the ball. But let's wait this out a few years and see how it works. And if Worthy ends up being a great pick, then yeah, the Bills will be in a tough spot once again in terms of trading, but they were not in his plans. And just like Xavier Leggett clearly wasn't in Buffalo's plans, because the Panthers and Leggett were the worst kept secret in this draft in terms of the Panthers saying, hey, we're going to come get you at pick 33 if you're still on the board. They even moved up one more to get him in that fifth year option. So they clearly knew what the Panthers were going to do. They probably had an inkling that the Chiefs were going to go wide receiver. It goes along with what Brandon Bean said. He has more day two or round two draft picks on his board than he did round one. He wasn't enamored with any of the players that were still remaining there. There wasn't a Dalton Kincaid type of player that he felt comfortable moving up a few picks to go and get in this year's draft. So moving down was the right option. You get the third round pick back. I understand, you know, fans staying up all night wanting to make a pick. One of the funniest texts I got was from my buddy, and it said, Brandon Bean is playing chess while all the other GMs are having an NFL draft. It was funny. I get it. But he is making moves in terms of making this roster better, having picks that he can trade for in next year's draft. If he doesn't want to make a pick this year, you can swap it out. You know, I saw Matt Miller saying maybe they can use some of these picks to go get a veteran option. They'd have to rework some contracts to make anything like that work, obviously. But the Bills are in a good spot right now in terms of entering day two of this draft with the picks that they have and the talent still on the board.
I get being frustrated about it. And I think, like, when you take a guy like Stephon Diggs out of the equation, the easy kind of place to be at is forcing a replacement, right? Like selling a replacement, especially if you're the Bills. Like, Stephon Diggs has been all pro, future Wall of Fame kind of candidate player for you over the last 4 years. I mean, he holds, you know, records in the Bills organization at receiver. I get, like, the need to want to replace that, but I don't necessarily know that any dart you throw in the draft, you could say guaranteed you're replacing Stephon Diggs as the number one. There's projection there. There's projection with Marvin Harrison Jr. There's projection with Rome Odunze. There's projection with Malik Nabers. It's that way across the board. So I think the route that they're going, bolstering their arsenal of draft picks here and having the ability to be limber, if you will, get up and down the draft board, and then, you know, maybe take a couple of picks. I mean, they could walk out of this draft with three wide receivers, Ryan, and depending on how this thing shakes out, you know, who knows, maybe of the whatever it ended up being, five or six receivers that went in the first round, maybe only three of those guys actually hit. So I get being, like, defeated in this moment, because it on the surface it does feel like Okay, the Chiefs got better. They added a potential weapon, a fast weapon, but that's a projection too, and it's going to have to work. I think I remember when the Chiefs drafted Mecole Hardman, who was this super speedy guy. I know he had the big game in the Super Bowl, but let's not forget the career path that Mecole Hardman's been on. Sky Moore, who has been an absolute invisible part as a former second-round pick. He was taken, what, like 13, 14 picks difference from when they took Xavier Worthy tonight in the draft that he went. Rashee Rice, nice player. Had a really nice season, a lot of potential. We know what's going on with him off the field. I just think that, like, to sit here and say that somehow Xavier Worthy is going to be this guaranteed bona fide all pro in their system. There's a lot of projection there, and there's a lot of ways I could see this going not in a good way, especially considering all those names I just rifled off here a minute ago.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. Projection's the key word, Matt. We don't know 2-3 years from now how it's going to work out. We know that they've missed on some of these receivers in the draft. Sky Moore comes to mind, like you said. We also know that Mahomes has, you know, done a nice job with a lot of lesser players. So we'll wait and see how this goes. But clearly, Worthy wasn't part of Buffalo's plan. There's still a lot of talented wide receivers on the board, a lot of talented receivers that the Bills have shown interest in. You know, A.D. Mitchell, Combine, at least they've met with him there. We haven't even mentioned Troy Franklin yet. They met with private workout, visit, met with him at the Combine. Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman. The list goes on and on. There are still receivers, and I'm sure there's one or two that they feel fits the mold of what they're looking for. There's still some really good defensive players. A lot of defensive players got pushed down the draft board after that offensive run early. So it's hard to be patient during the draft. I know you want to get these superstars. You want to get those guys that get you over the hump and get you into the Super Bowl or win you a Super Bowl, but he's in a spot now where he can add quality talent, quality starters to a roster that's already a Super Bowl contender based on what he does, especially tomorrow on night two of the draft.
If you're watching here with us late night, 2 a.m., we appreciate you. Hit that like button and subscribe to the channel as well. You know, for being like, there's been so many examples over the years. You know, I think of guys like Taron Johnson, who's on a third contract with the Bills. I think of Terrell Bernard, who comes out of nowhere and becomes this, at times look like a superstar cornerback. You think about Christian Benford, who, man, going into year three, I mean, the expectations are off the chart for that player. So I think about all of these day three picks that they have too. And I think you get pretty excited about what they potentially can add in a draft that I think in a couple of different positions of needs, they need another linebacker. They need a safety. They need a lot of help on the defensive line. I think that's somewhere they can really look to address on day two, bring in a tackle, bring in an edge rusher there. You know, I had Austin Booker in my final mock draft. I think the Bills, you know, I really like that connection between Lance Leipold and Sean McDermott. You get a pipeline directly to the intel on the player, the athletic profile that they like, the motor that they like. That's somebody that you can probably get in that range of 95 now, or maybe get up a little bit and get that person. Let's go to tomorrow real quick, because now setting up day two to me is what this show's really got to be about. Because there's so much on the board. We're not talking about a draft pick the Bills just made, right? There's two trades. They're set up at 33, 60, 95, and then into one pick in the fourth and four picks in the fifth. I don't think they make four fifth-round picks. So I think they get up in that fourth round, third round. We'll see. At 33, what's the likelihood higher here? Because you mentioned the wide receivers. You mentioned Cooper DeJean, who I thought, like I said, was going to be pick at 28. What do the Bills do at 33? And do you just keep maybe trading back as long as the board looks the way it does right now?
So if you're putting me on the spot right now with what I think is going to happen, I would put trade back again as my number one option, Matt, because this is a 24-hour window. Well, not 24 hours because the draft ended so late, but almost an entire day for teams to pitch their best offers to the Bills, where the Bills don't have to move down very far into round two. And if it's a wide receiver that they're targeting, then I think moving down two or three or four spots, they're still going to get one of those guys in that clump of receivers that they like. I really do question, though, if there is a player at 33, for instance, that they're coveting because they were so willing to let two teams trade in front of them to go get wide receivers. Now, if you know Cooper DeJean is a player that they love, which I think he's a player that they're very high on, they brought him in for a 30 visit. He only had time to make four of them, and the Bills were one. Then you stay put and you take that player because he is someone that you can use as a cornerback if you want to have him out there as, you know, as a rookie, more of a depth role probably, which wouldn't please a lot of fans. He can be a safety, which I still have questions about the safety room. The one thing I don't want to do, though, is start him out one spot and say, well, we can try it the other in a year or two. You know, figure out your plan, or if you do have a plan for him, put him in that spot, give him that role. Great talent, great player. So he would be my second option. And the third option would be staying put and grabbing one of those receivers. But again, you see what they did, trading out from 28, trading out from 32, where, again, you knew that the Panthers were taking Leggett, at least of those two trades. It makes me think they're not necessarily enamored with any of the receivers that are still currently on the board.
Especially at this spot, right? Like, I mean, if you're going to take somebody in the first round and put those kinds of expectations, like that's something that Brandon has talked about multiple times over the years. It's like, if you take a guy in the first round, you're basically telling everybody you think that they're a day one starter, somebody that's going to come in and make an immediate impact on your team. And maybe of the group that was left after that top four, there's a little bit more of a timeline that they have to allow these players to develop a little bit. So I agree with the way that you rank that. I would go back because if you look at the teams that are behind the Bills right now, you know, I think the Patriots could take a receiver. The Cardinals already got Marvin Harrison Jr., so they're going to go in a different directions. The Commanders desperately need offensive line help. So I think if you look at those three teams, there's a really good chance that you can move back one, two, three spots and still probably land one of the two players that you have if you have them equal on your board. And the way that they moving back, maybe there's even more than that. But I think if you could somehow add a very early fourth round pick or get back into the third round by trading down a couple with the Commanders, because the Commanders pick at 36, then they 40. Pick 40. And then I think, let me see if they have, do they have anything in the third round?
67 and 78.
67 and 78. If they're willing to talk about that pick 78 and you just got to give them your last fifth round pick, I think you move back those three spots and you say, Patriots take one of the receivers, say they take Ladd McConkey. Then you got the Cardinals who are probably going to go either Cooper DeJean. Do they need an interior player? Johnny Newton's on the board. They can maybe go that direction. Then you're sitting there at your pick and right again, you have your pick of like an AD Mitchell, a McConkey, if he falls, a Keon Coleman, Troy Franklin, a bunch of different players that if you feel like they're all in that same kind of clump, keep adding.
Yeah, keep adding. And, you know, I'm not sitting here saying Washington would offer up 36 and 40, both in a package where the Bills would give up 33 and maybe 95 and a fifth or a few fifths to make it all work out. But that would be something where I think it would be a no-brainer. If you can get 36 in one of those, either 67 or 78, though, that also makes a ton of sense because the more top 90, top 100 players you can add to this roster, the better off you're going to be. Matt, we talked about this a week ago, throwing darts. That's what this draft is. That's what every draft is. There's no sure thing. The more darts you have to throw at that board, the more likely you are to hit on a receiver, on a safety, on a D lineman, than you are than just, you know, making one pick here and there and waiting things out. So I think that Brandon Bean and the Bills are in a great spot right now where they have another opportunity to move down slightly, get even more ammunition and come out of this draft with a lot of good players on paper that you hope that a few of them will hit. And then the Bills really will be one step closer to maybe knocking off the Chiefs in the AFC and making that Super Bowl run.
Very interesting scenarios that could play out for the Bills here. I think a lot of the reaction that you saw today on social media was the panic that it feels like the Bills are taking a step back, right? Like that's the worry. I was talking about this with Josh Reed from Channel 4, and it's like, depending on how far they trade back and how far down the wide receiver train, if you will, the Bills choose to fall, depending on who they land and where they go wide receiver in this draft, you really start to think about this being more of a reset year and almost kind of pushing past this season and looking to 2025. I'm definitely not there yet. Like I'm not at a place. Like I think they can add the kind of weapons in this draft on both sides of the ball to, you know, if you could find a way to find three starters, even two, with a roster that's still pretty solid. I mean, if you look their defensive line right now, they have four starters. I mean, Greg Rousseau, you expect Von Miller, you're bringing him back. He took the pay cut. I think he's your starter. You have AJ Epenesa, who has started games for them before. You got the two interior players, your two linebackers, your two corners. You have two safeties right now. You can maybe draft another guy, but you know, Sean McDermott likes to go with veterans anyway. So there's not a lot of starting opportunities. I think the one guy that can maybe crack that list is a Cooper DeJean. Then you look on the offensive side of the ball. Sure, there's a wide receiver wide opening, right? Yeah. Other than that, a rookie is going to have to come in on this offensive line and beat out David Edwards, who's played for Aaron Cromer for five seasons, two of them or one of them in Buffalo over this last year. And then Connor McGovern, who basically everybody loves from his teammates. Mitch Morse was here ago and talked so much high praise about him. Joe Brady multiple times. They have two starting tight ends, one of the best tight end situations in the league. So if they could somehow find two starters, and that's why I think like, you really got to make a decision about wide receiver here. And if they don't go Mitchell in this spot with the value there, some people are saying he was going to go as high as 14 late in the process. Remember, we were talking about Adam Schefter his range was 27 to 32 saying, oh, I got him going higher.
Yeah.
Well, now he's in a place. If the Bills don't go with Mitchell in this spot, or maybe in a trade down scenario, that tells you that there are things that dropped him far enough down on their board that made it a no-go here.
Yeah, and it could be medical. It could be that the diabetes. It could be the effort. It could, you know, there's a lot of things to this, a lot of layers. I believe they met with him at the combine. Maybe it was just a bad enough interview there, and that's why maybe he wasn't brought in for a 30 visit. There's so much that goes into this, Matt. And while I still think it's wide receiver or Cooper DeJean if they stay put, one interesting option would be, and I'm not saying it will happen, but like Jackson Powers, Johnson. What if they did want it to keep, you know, the O-line almost intact and just replace Mitch Morse with Jackson or Johnson, excuse me, and have him in the center there because he was a projected first round pick. That would throw me off a little bit, surprise me a little bit, but it would allow McGovern to stay at guard. It would allow Deion Dawkins to probably have another great season. You know, you're as good as the player next to you, and we know how well he thrived last year because of that. So there's a lot of players still on this draft board, I guess is what I'm trying to say, that people had mocked in the first round that the Bills can pick, whether it's at 33, 36, or wherever it is, they could potentially trade down if they move a few spots.
All day long during the draft, we were kind of sending out text messages to the Shout Buffalo Bills insiders, thoughts as the draft was kind of playing out. That is only going to continue and pick up steam over the next couple days, over the weekend here. And you could become a Shout insider by texting 716-528-6727. If that doesn't work, go to joinsubtext.com/ShoutBuffaloBills. Put in your phone number, you'll get a text message, and then sign up for a two-week free trial, $3.99 a month after that. And the Shout text line is brought to you by Carrie C. Beyer, attorney with the law offices of Francis M. Litro, located at 237 Main Street in Buffalo, New York. If you or someone you know is seriously injured, give them a call, 716-852-1234, or check out litrolaw.com. What was the biggest surprise in your eyes for the first round here? Was it any player that did get picked in the first round? Was it somebody that's still on the board? What was like the biggest surprise?
Yeah, definitely Michael Penix Jr. to the Falcons. Nothing against the player. One, I didn't have him being the fourth quarterback off the board. I thought he would be fifth or maybe sixth. I think there's a lot to like about his game. But the biggest reason it was a shock to me is you just paid Kirk Cousins a boatload of money. And Cousins is going to be the starter there as long as he remains healthy for the foreseeable future, at least the next, 3 years? So by the time that he could potentially leave or be out the door, Penix Jr. is going to be getting close to the end of his rookie deal, and you might not know what you have in him. Sometimes things like that work out. You look at the Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers deal, but Rodgers had already been on that roster. He had known that team for a long time. I think his act kind of wore thin on them by the time that they were drafting Jordan Love and hoping he'd be the heir apparent. Kirk Cousins just entered there, and he's supposed to be this guy that helps him win the division, makes him a contender. That one definitely threw me off. And then I'll go, you know, second one would be Bo Nix. I get it. You're worried about the Raiders, or was it the Raiders? I know the Seahawks for sure were back there and potentially steal him a quarterback, but that's another iffy move in my opinion, based on where they grabbed him. So those are the two that stuck out to me. What about you?
Yeah, for me, I really thought that DeJean was going to be gone by the time the Bills picked. I didn't think he was going to get past the Packers. And that's kind of some of the smoke that we talk about that Brandon Bean was kind of mentioning, that all this stuff builds up and bellows over the course of the last 2 weeks before the draft. And then it all just kind of like blows up that on the night of, and you're seeing a bunch of different things. Like I saw Johnny Newton going in the 10 to 20 range in a ton of mock drafts. He's still sitting there on the board. That could be a little bit of an off the wall selection here.
Is it my Salamanca accent? The accent from growing up, is it really Falcons? Falcons? It's F-A-L. I've always said Falcons.
The Falcons is like, I would say it like that, like if it was fall with two L's maybe, but tomato, tomato, man. Like it's become part of
Mexico. Marty's calling me out here at 2:13 a.m. I wasn't ready for it.
I'm running on fumes. people are in their feelings right now about everything that's happening with this team and this draft, and I get it. And just called on the Dirty Birds. Arun says, that's the way to go.
Fair enough.
I think there's got to be concerns about Mitchell. I mean, for a guy with this kind of upside, with this kind of skill set, and how highly a lot of evaluators in the media space talk about him, for him to be kind of still sitting there after, you know, a guy like Ricky Pearsall, who a lot of teams are worried about, like, this is a slot only guy. And by the way, the 49ers taking him totally tells you that they're going to probably turn up the heat here and try to trade. I know they said they're not going to try to trade one of their wide receivers, but to me, it's like a redundancy. Like, I feel like they want Debo to play out of the slot a ton. I'd have to look at the percentages of all that, but I think that the Bills are in a really solid position here. I think that the thing for me that's so interesting, and we could talk a little bit more about it, and then we'll get into it probably even more over the next couple of weeks, is the idea of whether or not a team should try to plan for players not to go to specific rivals. Like, Brandon Bean was not shy about it. He said, I was taking calls with the Chiefs. I was taking calls with teams in the AFC East. It's like, I think if it's like a certain player that there's almost like a shared opinion on, I guarantee you that Brandon Bean and his staff spent the last couple of weeks talking to other teams since the combine, even about players like Xavier Worthy, players like Mitchell, getting an idea on what other teams kind of view these guys as. And if you feel like there's not enough juice around a guy and a guy's not to where he needs to be on your board for you to be fearful, it's almost like take him. Cause it's almost like if you get a guy like that, if you get the next, John Ross, you're sitting here as the Bills. If you end up coming out of here with a second round wide receiver like a Tank Dell or Amon-Ra St. Brown, ding, 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 you're the winner.
Yeah, 100%. It's funny, you know, trading within rivals within the division, it happens more than you think when you get to like the back end of the rounds or you get to day two, day three. Had the Bills like swung a trade with the Jets to move up to number 10, that would have been a shocker. That is something you don't usually see. But as you get deeper into these draft classes, you kind of have an idea, like you said, of where players are on other teams' boards or how highly they're coveted. And when it comes to Worthy, there's some risk there in terms of the body type and the frame. And the amount of punishment you have to take in this league. And maybe durability won't be an issue. Maybe he'll prove me wrong there. But I want to see it before it happens. And once you throw those pads on, by the way, too, he's not going to be running a 4-2-1. That'll slow him down a little bit. I still think he can be an asset for that team. I still think he can create some headaches. But I'm not ready to sit here and say that this was some brilliant move again by Kansas City, because there is a reason that Worthy was still sitting on the board at pick 28 in the first place.
Pops Mafia asked, did Bean know who the Panthers were going to take? He did say that he didn't know who the Chiefs were going to take. I don't know about the Panthers, but Ryan, everybody knew who the Panthers
were going to take. If I knew who the Panthers were going to take, Brandon Bean definitely did too. And I know the Panthers tried to, you know, throw some cold water on that report saying, oh, we told like a lot of prospects that if they're sitting there at 33, we're going to take them. Leggett was so confident, and he's been saying it for weeks now, almost like daring a team to come up and get him before that. Like, if you're not going to do it by this time, I'm going to be gone. And sure enough, the Panthers didn't even wait until 33. They moved up a spot to get that fifth year option. They like, you know, they know him very well. He's right down the road in South Carolina. They've seen him a lot. So yeah, just about everyone knew that was going to be the pick tomorrow had they stayed put and had he been on the board. There's no doubt in my mind, Brandon Bean probably said, okay, if we make this trade, this is who they're taking.
I just want to whisper something here before we wrap this first night up. Go and look at Curtis Samuel's last five seasons. Four of them have been healthy. Okay. I'm going to read you four numbers. 105, 97. 64, or wait, 92, sorry, it's late, and 91, okay? 90-plus targets in four of the last five seasons. Do you think the Bills gave Curtis Samuel $24 million, let's say 16 over 2 years, to come in here and take a significant drop-off in the target share there?
I don't, you know, maybe when they first signed him and you still had Stephon Diggs on the roster, you could make the argument, but no, now that you look at the landscape of this team and this roster, he's probably in line for that. And his most productive season came with Joe Brady a few years ago, over 1,000 total yards. He's only gotten better as a receiver the last few years. It's just been poor quarterback play that's kind of hindered him at times. So I think that he's going to see around that target share. You're going to see Dalton Kincaid get more targets than 1 year ago when he was a rookie. Khalil Shakir will see a tiny uptick as well, I would think. And then you still have James Cook out of the backfield catching the ball. So there's a lot of those targets that have already been somewhat claimed. So this player or players that they draft tomorrow and maybe even early in day three, the target share is not going to be as great as some expect.
Exactly. And you know, you say a tiny uptick for Khalil Shakir. I could see his target share going up to Gabe Davis levels. And Gabe Davis levels, I mean, depending on which season you look at, is in the 80 range, right? He had 45 targets last year, Shakir. I could see that, you know, sneaking up maybe into the 70s and continuing to push forward as he continues to get better. You know, I look at a guy like Travis Kelce, 152 targets 2 years ago in 17 games, 121 targets last season. I don't think Dalton Kincaid is going to go from 91 targets to 152, right, but I would expect him to go over 100. Yeah. I think that he's going to be a guy in this offense that they kind of try to get involved every single week. You're talking about 10 targets a week. So my point being, you have all these factors at play. And the aggressiveness to go up and get a wide receiver who, let's be honest, like I said before, you're going to have to get that guy the ball to warrant the investment. I don't know if Brandon Bean had those two things meet each other and it made sense for what they want to do in their offense. And I'll tell you right now, I sit here and I'm going to make it a point to go back and watch all these Green Bay Packers games last year. I watched a ton of them already. That offense, it flowed. It flowed, and I think you can make in the argument, depending on which rookie wide receiver the Bills get this year, that the Bills are going to have just as much talent, if not more talent, than the Green Bay Packers had at wide receiver and tight end combined. I think that's something to get excited about. If you want to, act like that's making excuses for the Bills or, you know, giving them a pass for how they've approached this thing, you could think that. But I do think that there's a path to success without a bona fide number one wide receiver. And depending on who that number one wide receiver is, you got to factor in so many other parts of it and fit and culture and attitude and all those different things. It's hard. It's hard to make it all work out. And I think Josh Allen has kind of proven, I think he's best when he's surrounded by we guys.
Yeah.
Not me guys.
Yeah. And you know, when the Bills offense flowed or hummed was those last seven games where Stephon Diggs was on the field, but he wasn't the focal point. It was spreading the ball around. It was game plan specific against Dallas, running the ball, pounding the ball down their throats, making it work. Some games it was targeting Dalton Kincaid. You saw the way that Khalil Shakir, you know, performed late in the season in games. So it wasn't very, you know, game plan. It wasn't player specific in terms of we're going to get it to this one player week after week after week. This is our bona fide number one. This is our star. We have to feed him the ball. It was, well, this week we can give it to James Cook because the run game's working. But next week he might not get as many carries. And, you know, Khalil Shakir has been doing really well against in this matchup. Well, let's keep getting him the ball. Joe Brady's offense was working at its best where he didn't have to force the ball to one player or do one thing. He was allowed to get a little bit creative. And now this is going to be his full offense this season. He's going to be able to implement everything that he wants to in the offseason, where you can't do that when you take over the interim offensive coordinator title, which he did, you know, now obviously full-time title midseason. You can't just scrap an entire offense and bring in your own. It's going to be his own system this year. He's going to be more comfortable with the play calls and the personnel that he has.
I just brought up the Packers just to use as an example to give people a look. The most targets for any player on the Packers last year was Romeo Doubs at 96. Jaden Reed had 94. Dontavian Wicks, another draft pick, 58. 53 for Christian Watson, who missed a bunch of games. Mm-hmm. Luke Musgrave, the tight end, 46. Aaron Jones, 43. The other tight end, Tucker Kroft, 40. I mean, that is great balance on an offense that I can envision a world that the Bills live in with their two tight ends, whatever receiver or two receivers that they add now, you throw in Matt Collins, you throw in Justin Shorter. I would just chill. I think they're going to be just fine. And even if it's a step back, I think that what the reset has done and the aggressive reset has done is to maximize this next stretch, this next push into Josh Allen's career. And I think they're going to have a lot of money to play with next year. And maybe that's when you go out and go after a big fish, maybe on the offensive side of the ball. And oh, by the way, they could still add a free agent wide receiver. And we've talked about a couple of interesting ones.
Yeah, still a lot of good names on the market. DJ Chark, former 30 visitor. You still have Odell Beckham Jr. You still have Tyler Boyd still available, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
So plenty of names, plenty of quality players that you could depend on for in a small target share, 30, 40 targets, maybe somewhere in that range, but they could still produce at times. So I still think this team's fine. I think they're set up to win the division once again. Nothing that the AFC East did tonight makes me think that the Bills aren't still the clubhouse leader. We'll wait and see on Drake May. Hopefully for if you're a Patriots fan that he is the guy that can kind of get them back on track, but that's no sure thing. I think the Jets made the right choice going O-line, but they're still kind of in that 1 or 2 year window at most. And then there was a lot of skepticism, especially from Dolphins fans about the Chop Robinson pick. I like him, but you're projecting what he can be in the NFL if he can develop, because he was never dominant at Penn State. Great first step, flashed at times, but there were a lot of upset Dolphins fans that I saw on social media tonight as well, or last night, I guess, more specifically. So even with the other teams making picks, the Bills, in my opinion, still have the best roster in this division. They're in a good spot going into tomorrow's draft.
Yeah, and don't forget, they have Josh Allen. That's at the end of the day, I think sometimes people forget it. And I get wanting to build around him, giving him as many weapons as you can. But sometimes there's, I don't know, the simplicity of letting that group be a bunch of guys that, you know, just want to you know, be there for him. And like none of that kind of drama that we've seen around the team the last 2 years. And I'm not saying that Roma Dunze would come in and cause that kind of drama. I don't think that, but it's also a projection into how he's going to fit into your offense and kind of the year and a half now they've had to envision what this thing's going to look like with a first round pick that they already spent on Dalton Kincaid. And I guess I just continue to be higher on Kincaid than most. We'll see how it plays out. We'll see how the rest of this draft plays out. Pick number 33. Very interesting. Become an insider right now. We are going to be following all the rumors tomorrow. Ryan does a great job getting any of that stuff out, whether it be on the website, Syracuse.com, NewYorkUpstate.com, in the chat, over on the text insider line. We're going to be active, 716-528-6727. We'll see you all tomorrow. We'll do it again. And tomorrow, we're going to have a couple players to talk about. Take care, everybody.